Hola. Buenos dias. You now know as much Spanish as me. I have a confession to make. I did not go to San Jose, Villanueva, to build a house. I went to El Salvador to escape 8 days of attack ads. Hope you enjoyed them for me. Thought this morning I would spend a few minutes sharing some first impressions with you about our trip to SJV. And then a few weeks, the first Sunday in December, we're going to have a luncheon and video presentation after worship in which you'll be able to hear from everybody in the mission trip who'd like to participate, and it'll be a bit more coherent because everybody will be well rested at that point. But I did think that stepping off the plane, as it were, was the right time to share these first impressions while it's still fresh, while it's still immediate. I want to start off by telling folks here that this church invested $6,000 in building supplies for a house and a great deal of Brian Clancy's time in the office. I've been here now almost 5 years, and this is the single best use of this church's money I have seen since I have come here. And it's not to say that our investments elsewhere have not been good and holy and valuable. But this church literally has changed the life of a family. Hold that in your hearts. Hold that in your hearts. El Salvador is a little bit different from the Upper Valley of New Hampshire. My first words on stepping out of the van when we pulled into the lot this morning was, who turned off the heat? It was warm, indeed hot at times. Sun with us for a good portion of the day. Other times there were heavy driving rains, but never so long that we were prevented from doing our day's work. It is a verdant place at this time of year. Lush, rich, greenery everywhere. It's moist, damp, very mountainous where we were. There are hills. That part we could relate to. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful place. But it's not Eden. It's not perfect. Everywhere we went, we were confronted with the visible evidence of poverty and want. If you want to see what income inequality can become, take a trip down to SJV, where people live in squalor, in hovels, in homes that people here could not imagine. I've traveled around this country a bit over the years, and the only time I've seen this kind of poverty was down in Harlan County, Kentucky, there in the depths of Appalachia. And yet, there was another end to the spectrum. The gated communities. Had a couple of those in SJV. And I had the opportunity to go with Mike Jenkins out on a tour. And we drove past the entrance to La Hacienda, followed along its big, tall wall with the concertina wire on top. And he brought me to this beautiful, breathtaking overlook of the Pacific Ocean. And at that moment, everything that was wrong there became so clear. Here are these people living in houses that were selling for $200,000 to $1 million. They used the U.S. dollar in El Salvador, but the daily wage is $5. So imagine what $200,000 to $1 million would translate into here in the States. Phenomenal wealth in this gated community. But these people could not see the beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean because they had to build a wall to keep out crime and poverty. Now, we were blessed in the people we met. We met some lovely, lovely folks. They were warm-hearted, they were funny, they were friendly, they were quirky. Met the Americans, Mike and Susie Jenkins again. Some of you may have recalled they visited our church earlier this year. We got to spend some real time with them, and they are lovely, beautiful people. They are an advertisement to the world of how good Americans can be. And then we met a lot of the locals. There's Graciela, who is the on-site administrator for Epilogos, who is quite quiet and efficient. There was Willie, our driver. He's an animated fellow, always bouncing around, wanting to tell stories. I found out it is possible for me, with really no Spanish, to have a full conversation with someone who speaks only Spanish. We managed to talk about flights and weather, about the Civil War, about gang violence, and about prayer. There is Chepe, our very focused, very competent site manager. Often wore a pretty serious game face, but there were moments that his smile just broke through, and you could see he had a wicked sense of humor. And there was the Lopez family. They'd come out and bring us fresh fruit. In the morning, after we'd been working for a couple of hours, we all enjoyed it. We only wish we had not been told on our very last day that maybe we should not have eaten it. I cannot speak for others. I seem to have made it through okay. It tasted good at the time, though. And then there was Nelson. Nelson, who was everywhere. Walter should be talking to you about Nelson. Walter and Cody and John would play soccer with him. And Walter, did you get to come back with your sunglasses?
I did.
I'm impressed. Nelson loved wearing Walter's shades. He was there with us, and he was helping out, carrying the sand and the gravel, being part of the project. This family invested so much of their time and their effort. There was the grandfather, Raphael, who was a little wiry old man who had been digging the post holes and leveling the ground. We did not do all the work. We arrived there to find the site prep, and I think it's fair to say there was some disappointment on the part of some members of our work group that we did not bring the project over the finish line. Do not feel bad. Canadians will come, and they will paint, and they will point. And I hope that we will remember that Moses did not cross into the promised land. He had to hand over the work to someone else. There will be another group of volunteers who will be blessed to know the Lopez family. I had a chance to meet school administrators, to provide pastoral care to people with terminal cancer, the hospice, to pray over a woman who had just died, and to be with her daughter. So many good, wonderful people. But there is a dark side in El Salvador today. The country is rife with gang violence. Sad to say that the Crips and the Bloods, those groups you've heard about in Los Angeles, have gone international. There are two major gangs at work in SJV. And I got to see them up close. Mike and Ed and I were doing the rounds. We went to see a little business that was being staked by Epilogos. It's run by three sisters who are selling smokeless stoves and also make tortillas. And just across the street and down a flight of stairs was the headquarters for the MS gang. That's where El Jefe was. And there were two little taquerias on either side of this business. And in one of them was the wiry runner, and in the other, the big, heavy thug who looked like he wanted to lay on a world of hurt. Mike knew these guys, and they knew Mike. No love lost here, but tremendous respect. These people live with this crime and this shadow, and yet they do not let it weigh them down. There was tremendous hope in this community. And we saw that in the building of this house, this looking to the future. The house will have three rooms and a patio. It will be well ventilated. It will be a different universe from the one in which they currently live. I had the opportunity to visit a couple of other Epilogos-built houses, the same design we had, and I saw how they were transformed from houses into homes. This is the Lord's work that is being done. And it was a blessing and a privilege for me to be able to join with Barb and Walter and Ron and Wendell and Alan Smith and Cody and Drag and Ed and Jonathan Warren building this house. As we lifted posts and shifted bricks, mixed concrete. More concreto! That's Ron and Barb's job. You need concrete mixed, you go see Ron Bailey. You want to find him, I think we might find him down at Carroll on 12A because he's going to be having a wish to be around the concrete. Amazing, amazing work that was being done. Pointing walls, pouring concrete. It was a blessing to be able to do this. That's one of those words that's overused in the church, blessing. We say this is a blessing, that is a blessing. But I believe this was a truly blessed time. And I felt that we were all doing ministry in this moment. You can be proud of your church. Now, the church in El Salvador has an outsized presence. It's changing. Pentecostalism is rising. Evangelical forms of Protestantism are making inroads, but the Roman Catholic Church is still the center of imagination. The moral universe there. Some of you may recall the civil war that racked El Salvador from the late 70s to the early 1990s. I remember this was going on when I was in college, and I remember studying it when I was in college, taking class on Latin American politics. It's one thing to read about this in books and another thing to go and see what it has done to this country. One of the things that was both sobering and inspiring for me as an ordained minister was the opportunity to reflect on the role of the church in these events. A good chunk of the Catholic hierarchy was complicit in what was going on, comfortable in its privileges, not wanting to rock the boat. One of those people who had been going along because he was part of the leadership clique, in a sense, part of the elite, was Oscar Romero, became the Archbishop of San Salvador. Romero's views changed, and he threw in his lot with the average Janes and Joes, the people who were living in grinding poverty, who were being abused, ignored, killed. He made things very difficult for the government. And in 1980, Romero was assassinated while celebrating Mass. We had an opportunity to visit the chapel where he was leading worship. We had a chance to gather around the altar and pray. Romero was standing behind the communion table. And he saw the doors at the back of the chapel open when the gunman came in. And he continued to celebrate the Eucharist, and he was shot. We each had an opportunity to stand behind the altar and get a sense of what that may have been like. I don't know that I could ever show such courage or conviction or faith. I pray to God that I could. Romero chose to live at this hospice. And so it was a special blessing for me to do some pastoral care work there, to make that connection. I found when I was praying with people and visiting with them, of course, they were English speakers. And I did have someone to translate, but sometimes it's hard to pray and translate. So I would offer an English prayer, and I would finish it with the words, Paz de Dios. I was pleased when Mike Jenkins said, that's pretty good. I figured that out all by myself. Paz de Dios, the peace of God. And the peace of God isn't just something that was embodied by Romero or the Jesuit priests or the Marinal nuns who gave their lives in the service of the gospel and the people of El Salvador, but also in the local church. I never want to hear a complaint for anybody in this congregation about having to be at worship at 10 o'clock in the morning. We went to the 7:30 Mass. We thought it was at 7 o'clock. Maybe we'll start advertising the beginning of church here at 9:30. The place was pretty full, and this wasn't even the big one. That was at 10. There are familiar elements throughout the service, even for those of us who don't speak Spanish. We could follow along, recognize what was going on as the Eucharist itself was being celebrated. As the passing of the peace occurred, we were welcomed in by people and we shook hands. This church, rooted in ancient tradition going back hundreds of years in Latin America, has gotten technology. They had a projector and they put up the words for the songs and the choruses. So we could participate because we could actually read the words. And it was wonderful. And this great praise group singing, young people, their teens and 20s with beautiful voices leading the singing. They had a charismatic young priest. Yeah, it's funny, Mike was disappointed that the senior priest wasn't there because he was hoping I would have a chance to meet him. We could talk shop somehow. I'm glad he wasn't there because this young guy had presence. I thought, he's not stodgy, which is what I'd heard about the senior priest. He was alive and he gave me hope for the church there and for what it can be. I could see that he was engaging people. During this service, I had a happy surprise, which I'm going to share, or some of you might say inflict upon you. Yes, it's time to tremble. I'm opening a hymnal. In a previous chapter of my worship life, there were certain hymns that were sung in various contexts. One of them is Seek Ye First. And so imagine my surprise. The words come up in Spanish, and at first I didn't recognize them, but then the music started playing. Singing in Spanish, but I'm going to sing this in English now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to do this hymn justice, right? Because I crushed it. We're going to do coffee here. Let's do loaves and fishes. Share. There were so many times during this trip when I felt God's presence. But boy, when that music began to play and this beloved hymn began to be sung, I just felt God was reaching out and giving us an opportunity to fully be part of this service. So I'd like us to sing this together and try to think of our friends in SJV as we do this. Dios.